Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves continuing in the book of Daniel, and we come to Daniel chapter 5. We know that Daniel is very much a prophetic book, and we know that Daniel himself, along with three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, were men of God who held their principles and their values, even though they were slaves, even though they were in a very vulnerable situation. They stood up for the Lord, and they declared their faith and their love for him. Daniel chapter 5 is really the story of King Belshazzar. He comes after King Nebuchadnezzar, and really it seems that he's pretty careless and thoughtless and irreverent. Because what happens is he gives this great banquet, and there were loads of people there. We read 1,000 of his nobles. They came together, they drank wine, and he began to bring in some of the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple. And they were drinking from these goblets, and they began in their drinking to, as it were, toast, praise gods of bronze, iron, wood and stone, mocking the God of Israel, mocking the living God. That temple had been made, of course, for the living God to worship, to honour, to glorify. And they were using the utensils of it in a very ungodly way. Anyway, suddenly the fingers of a human hand appear and begin to write on the wall. And at this, the king begins to feel very, very ill indeed. And his knees are knocking. And there's a tremendous fear that comes over him. And the writing appears. The writing is distinct. And he begins, obviously, to wonder what is being written. His magicians, his wise men, they can't read the writing. They've never seen that sort of writing before. And they don't know what it means. And, of course, the situation has dramatically changed from all the revelry and drunkenness and carefree attitude. Now there's a real fear that's overcoming the people. Eventually, it's considered that Daniel, he's the one who needs to be brought into the situation. You know, God's man comes into a situation, and we see a number of times in Scripture how godly men are able to come into the most troubled situation and bring something of value, something of wisdom, something of God. And basically, the words, meni, tekel, peres, what they mean is, mene means God has numbered the days of your reign, King Belshazzar, and brought it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. God is simply saying, Belshazzar, you've been behaving as if you're going to last forever. You've been behaving in an incredibly irresponsible and thoughtless manner. But God is stepping in. He's the one in charge. He is sovereign. And you'll only reign as long as he wants you to reign. And now that time is coming to an end. Well, Daniel is greatly honoured, even bringing such an incredibly strong and clear word. But we read that the very night that this has all been declared and brought into the open, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. God is sovereign, God's in charge, and this story demonstrates that very, very powerfully. Let's pause for some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll have another look at Daniel and chapter 5.
Shine your light into the darkest corners of my life, Lord. Shine your light, let every sin in shadow be made known. For you are righteous, your love, your grace, your mercy. Love within my heart, Lord. Let me feel the hands that bless the children rest on me. Show me more, show me more of your glory and your.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Daniel chapter 5. Richard, just recap for us, you know, where we are in the story and how we got from the end of chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 5.
Yes, well, Nebuchadnezzar had been a key figure in Babylon, and a tremendously influential, successful figure. But he got really full of pride, and he wanted the statue built to himself, and everyone bow down and worship it, and all of that. And Daniel comes into his life and pronounces judgment. And Nebuchadnezzar goes through a very humbling time. But he seems to have some repentance, some acknowledgement that the God of Israel needs to be revered and honoured. And so, we can't be sure, but the end of his story seems a little brighter than some kings in the Bible. But he had a son called Belshazzar, and so when Nebuchadnezzar dies, the son is then in place. And chapter 5 is the beginning of something about the son, Belshazzar.
Mm.
Now, the writing on the wall is quite a well-known passage. It's a phrase that's come down to us to signify, you know, a kind of a warning, foretelling something that's going to happen. Is it a bit fanciful? Can we be sure that this really happened?
I believe so. I believe that it's the sort of thing that God has done. After all, the Ten Commandments were written, they were engraved on the stones, and that seemed to be a supernatural hand at work. So that, of course, was very positive. This is for judgment, this is for correction, for bringing something back into line. But yes, I think that, again, if you consider the scene, there's probably a lot of drunkenness, noise, revelry. If God was going to make himself heard, he would need to do so in a fairly dramatic way.
Yes.
And that's what happens. It is very dramatic.
Yes. I mean, drunkenness and, you know, celebrations of this sort were probably pretty commonplace at the time. In many ways, they still are. And yet God comes down with a very heavy hand of judgment, if you like. Is that... again, is that part of God's character, what we would expect?
Well, yes, I think clearly God does judge, and often that judgment is stored up rather than released every time someone does something wrong. But the element which is rather significant here is this total disregard for the goblets and the temple furniture and furnishings, and the fact that they were employed in this drunkenness and revelry. And I believe that was taking things into a different league, a different dimension, because in effect it was blasphemy, and therefore God was going to act.
I suppose ultimately Belshazzar's basic error was not recognizing God, not honoring God.
Yes, I think that's very much the case. I mean, even his father Nebuchadnezzar, though we said he didn't have a godly life all the way through, he did have the sense, we would say, at the end of the day, with all his power and his soldiers and armory and everything, he did acknowledge that there was a God in heaven and that Daniel was serving the right God. Belshazzar is only going to come to that understanding after pretty severe judgment.
And then once again, Daniel here being brought up and using once again this interpretive gift that he had to interpret what this meant. And as a result, Daniel himself being raised up at the end.
Well, that's right. It's interesting that what raises up Daniel is righteousness. It's not clamour for position, it's no manipulation, it's simply that he does the right thing. And he clearly hears from God. I mean, how else would you have a clue about a language that you'd never been taught? You wouldn't be able to refer to any book to find a reference point. It's a revelation from God. And he brings that revelation, even though he realizes it's strong stuff. A bit like Samuel, who's told to tell Eli what's really going on and what God is thinking. It's not easy to speak the truth, but Daniel doesn't flinch. This is the word of God.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the book of Daniel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.